The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 16 through 20. Talks about the old paths. I'm sure that Kevin and Chase on their trip will be traveling some old paths. Those who are going to Guyana shortly will be traveling down some old paths. But that's not the type of old paths that we're going to talk about this morning. Starting in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, O know, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto me, unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from your far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet unto me.
Glad all of you are here this morning, especially having those who are visiting with us. I really do appreciate also the prayer on our behalf as we'll be leaving on Tuesday, Chase and I, and continue to remember us and watch over Courtney and the girls while we're away from them as well. We are grateful to God to be a part of a spiritual family that cares and loves one another, and that's such a beautiful thing to have in Christ as we travel down these old paths together. It's a fact that throughout history there has been a need to call people back, just like Jeremiah does here. You know, this section of Scripture is repeated so many times throughout history. This wasn't the first time there was a need for this. And it remains something that as Christians we must personally, individually remember that we need to have a part in this process of calling out to people, reminding people what the good way is, helping them to see that, and helping them to choose that path, to actually ask for it, to want it, to desire it. Because the fact of the matter is, the world as a whole has no interest in God's ways. Typically, that's how it is. Jesus explained that the broad way is the way that is traveled by the majority. That's the way that leads to eternal separation from God. But there are only a few people that are interested in this way that is described as the old way, where the good way is. Jeremiah is having to deal with this because here are these people. Just imagine, a people that God loved and cherished, a people that God brought out of Egyptian bondage, and he parted the Red Sea so they could cross over and defeated their enemies, closing it back behind them. He fed them along the way. He provided for them. He gave them safety. When their enemies rose up against them, God said, I will fight for you. Just trust in me, believe in me. And he did so. And he delivered them into this place of, as it's called, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was prosperity, it was blessings. But all of that was contingent upon them remembering the goodness of God and remaining faithful to their God. But that's not what humanity typically does. We often forget God. We drift away from God. We leave God in the past. There are new things, or there are desires that we have. We don't like the restrictions of God's Word, or it doesn't allow us to engage in the pleasures, or we have to be too different from the people in the world, and therefore God's ways are set over here on a shelf and we don't visit them very often. And then we forget and we don't teach our children, and a generation arises that does not know God. Their knowledge of God, their closeness to God is superficial. And therefore, it is no surprise that we have a country that is really doesn't understand and know God. It's that way throughout the world. When we stop and consider what we're watching this time of year, as people are deciding who they're going to vote for and who is going to be the next leader of this country, it's amazing to me, the people that are in the lead. When you stop and consider the values that this nation was based upon. And it is clearly the case that the people who are voting for, the individuals who are at the front of each political party, are not considering the values and the standards that are set forth in this book. We have to be a people who love and cherish and ask for the old paths where God says the good way is. If we have a knowledge of the good ways, we will recognize when the ways set before us are not good. But if we don't have that familiarity, then we will not, and we will go down a path that unfortunately leads to destruction. Memories of old paths are good and sweet. We can think back in our own lives, I'm sure, to sweet and fond memories, good times. Those, for Christians, are always connected with things that are tied to God's ways and God's goodness. That's where we have things that are truly comforting. And certainly with Jeremiah, he wanted so much because he was a man that was called by God, a man who God saw good, and he was a man who wanted his people to get back right with God. They had for so long deserted God, left him behind. In this context here, these people were headed for destruction. Look at verse 9 of chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer puts your hand back into the branches, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. That statement that he makes in verse 9 concerns the Babylonian Empire that would invade for coming from the north. They were actually to the east, but they would travel the Fertile Crescent and come down the north. And they were going to invade the land of Israel, and they were going to come in like grape gatherers. And they were going to glean. They were going to take all the prosperity. They were going to take all the good. They were going to leave nothing behind. They weren't going to just grab once. They were going to make sure that every last grape is taken. It is God's judgment on a people, as he says, that will not listen to his word any longer. In fact, his word, the truth, the righteousness, the beautiful ways of God have become a reproach. Something they are disgusted with. God's word can become that to people. Because people don't like to hear the rebuke, the chastisement, the words that say, that's not right, we've got to change that. Jeremiah was trying to do good. Jeremiah was trying to give hope and life to a people that couldn't even see what was happening to themselves. Here they are, much like the people that today live in sin, and they are like walking dead. People that are physically living, but spiritually, they're like corpses walking around. They have no hope. They're going to die. It's just a matter of time until there's that eternal separation, unless there's a change of mind. There's an awakening, which is what Jeremiah's whole effort was all about, to awaken people so that there could be a restoration, as we sang, restore my soul. Let me wake up to the reality of where I am so that I can change and now go back to God. That's what Jeremiah wanted. And this is something that can happen. And the thing is, we as Christians must do some self-examination to make sure that we ourselves are on the right path, that we have the right hearts, that we're not starting the drifting process, and that if we are, that we come back and then begin this process of restoring others. We have that work to do within the body of Christ. There are people outside of the body that need to have their hearts awakened. What was the message preached by Jesus? And before him, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. He was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was telling people, "You are in sin. You've got to come out of that sin." Sometimes there's no easy way to communicate the glad tidings. You have to begin with all the dark stuff. That is, these things are not right, you're in sin, but you can come out and be clean, white as snow. There's beauty in the gospel message. But it begins with first pointing out to people that they have to change their lives and do what God says they have to do. As we think about these old paths this morning, we're going to talk about, first of all, how that the old paths were clearly revealed. We'll talk about, secondly, how the old paths were and are rejected. And then, as we think about these points, we're going to consider, finally, then, that the old paths need restoration. So, they were, of course, revealed. God, during this time, through the prophet Jeremiah, when Jeremiah is speaking to the people and he's calling them back, what are these old paths that he's talking about? Well, these were the teachings of Moses that had been given to these people long before. This was not a brand new message, but this was a message that went back many, many generations, and it was a message that had been forgotten by the present generation. So this is not something that we are distant from, but something very near to our own situation. We have a message that is not brand new. It's a message that goes back to the first century. 2,000 years. These are old paths. But they're just as valid. They're just as important. The problems that people were facing then are the problems that people are facing today. The same kinds of sins that destroy lives and families then are exactly the same ones that are destroying families and hurting people today. And the same solution back then is the same solution that we have today. It's get back to God and His Word. Let's listen to the One who created us. Doesn't He know something about how we can fix our problems? Doesn't He know something about how that we can have hope once again and get out of the pit of misery and suffering and anguish that we often bring upon ourselves because of our choices? He wants us to have happiness and joy that will last, and hope that is real. Unfortunately, when Jeremiah was doing his work, he had to deal with the false teachers of those days. Those who, look at verse 14 in Jeremiah chapter 6. He's talking about the false teachers. The end of verse 13 says, "And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." Verse 14, "They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." Those false priests and prophets were trying to tell people, you know what, everything's okay. They were smoothing everything over so that people were believing that there was no problem of sin. Jeremiah is telling them, no, you are in deep sin. God is calling you out of it. Here are your sins. And he explicitly told them what they were guilty of. But because of the false prophets, they wouldn't change their ways. Today we have many who do not teach what God's Word says. And so you have a lot of doctrines that make it smooth and easy to go down the road of life that God said was difficult. But you see, we don't like, human beings don't like difficult. We don't like hard. We want easy. But God's way is not easy. And therefore, when these false prophets start doing this work, they're going to have a big following. And they had an influence. But they and those who followed them, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 15, when the blind lead the blind, both, he says, will fall into the ditch. We may be able to find people to teach us things that don't require any change in our lives. But if we follow that, then we have no hope. It's the hard truth that we must embrace, receive, and then take upon ourselves that hard work of changing our lives and repenting of our sins, that will give us hope. That's where the good way is. And Jeremiah was speaking a word relating to this promise that had been made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the covenant that would be made, and that through this man would come salvation for the whole world, Jesus Christ. God was going to give to the world a solution to the problem of sin, but before that solution came, there was a people descending from Abraham, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, that God gave this special covenant to. And they would be the people through whom the Messiah would come. And this law that they were receiving was a law that they had to keep and to follow, and that would make them a separate people from the world. There, the covenant under which they lived did not allow, of course, idolatry. It did not allow all the immorality that was practiced by the idolatrous world around them. And thus, they were going to be a distinct people. But the problem was that when God told them, you destroy all these nations, that was a part of God's judgment upon the wickedness of those nations. They didn't want to do that. And so they left some of those people and they did not destroy them. And then the influence ended up destroying God's people, little by little, gradually over time, because they didn't hearken to the will of God. They didn't listen to God's word. Whenever we think that it's not such a big deal to maybe do things exactly as God's word says, it's just a matter of time until there's going to be some sort of a problem that results from that. God's way is the way that leads us to life and to happiness and to success and to peace that will never be taken from us. They, unfortunately, didn't learn that lesson. And so here Jeremiah is trying to call them back to a way that had long ago been revealed. The law of Moses, when it was given, also was, it included warnings to God's people. And if you'll notice in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and following, there's a lengthy section that talks about essentially that if you will keep my law, God says, you will be blessed greatly. If you keep my law, you will be prosperous. If you keep my law, you will have victory over your enemies and you will have peace in the nation. If you keep my law, you will have good health and I will not spread these diseases among you. God would bless his people if they would be faithful. That's always been true. Blessings are conditional upon our obedience to what God tells us to do. And it's to what has been revealed. God does not punish us or hold us accountable for something that we don't know or can't understand. The Word of God can be understood by everybody. We don't have denominationalism throughout the world today because God's Word can't be understood. It's because it's a difficult way, and it's hard to follow. And there's a lot of doctrines that make life a lot easier if we just follow those. And so what we need to remember is that our responsibility today, you and me, we as Christians, we have this responsibility to study this Word diligently. This is the path that the people we work with need to hear about. Do we tell them? Listen, there's an old path that goes back a long way to the first century when Jesus Christ established his church. A lot of people don't even understand that concept because to us today in our society, churches is like, you know, choosing the restaurant you want to go to. I don't like this over here, so I'll go over here. That's not God's revealed will. God has one way. His Son established one church. And that's the way it's supposed to be until he comes again. What we have today is man's destruction of God's plan. It's the apostasy that took place way back when it all started within the church and resulted in what we have today. But we can make a difference. You and I can make a difference with the people around us, family members, friends, neighbors, people we work with, by studying it for ourselves and then being able to explain to them, look, God has revealed the old way that leads us to heaven. So we need to busy ourselves with the preparation of that work that God has told us we need to do. We are all supposed to be Jeremiahs today, taking this message and warning people and helping people to see that God is a loving God who has not confused this world, that's our doing. But His old paths are still here. They're here for the seeing and here for the following. But here's what we see as we continue. Number two, this morning, the old paths were rejected. And we know that has not changed. It will always be the case that many, many people will not be willing to follow those old paths. That's true. You know, under the Old Testament, clearly, that word was not followed again and again. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16 says, "As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you." That's what they told him. They told Jeremiah, "What you have been telling us about God's ways, these old paths, we're not going to have it. We won't do it." And they were stubbornly resistant to His call to come back to God. He's trying to offer them hope and salvation. They're choosing destruction, but they can't see it. They can't see it because they're so far from God. The heart can be so hardened that it can't see the reality of where it is going. You know, sometimes that's true of people struggling with physical problems, addictions, things like that. People try to help them. They struggle with them. They cry with them. They're like, "Please change what you're doing." And it's just like it's not being heard. Nothing is done to change. That's how it is oftentimes in this world. In Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 9, here's what the word of the Lord says, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." How much more hard can a heart get? They just explicitly tell him, "We don't want to hear the prophets, just get out of our way, we don't want to listen to what God has to say, stop prophesying." And it was no different in New Testament times as well. John 6 and verse 66, Jesus was teaching the truth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all the things He taught about the kingdom, some heard, many did not hear and heed. John 6 verse 66, from that time many of His disciples turned or went back and walked with Him no more. They didn't want to listen to what Jesus had to say because the words of Jesus were hard to hear. The changes that He was saying they needed to make, that's just too much. They weren't willing to make those changes. There are many reasons why change is not something that people are willing to do. Sometimes it's rebellion. Sometimes it's self-gratification, a desire to please self and do what we like. Sometimes it's imitation. We want to be like others. We hate being different. And so many things. Sometimes it's a desire for something fresh, something different, something new. And so when you talk about the old paths, that just of its very nature doesn't interest some people. One passage reminds us, Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, an attitude that the people once had. They journeyed, it says, from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. The soul of the people became very discouraged or impatient along the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Just think about that for a moment. Here was the manna provided to them from heaven, a God-given solution to their problem. They're hungry. This is exactly what you need. You can eat this for the 40 years. It'll be enough. It'll supply you with everything you need. And they call that worthless bread. This is essentially the attitude of the world today so often toward God's Word, that which we are to feed upon, and even toward Christ, who is the bread of life. His ways become despised. They are rejected. People turn away and have an attitude of "this is worthless. We don't want to hear that the old way." But here's the thing. When you go and you begin to teach the old paths and you call people to it and you don't make compromises, you just tell them what they need to hear, always in a loving fashion, but be prepared for the fact that there will be many people who don't want to hear it. It might be natural to get discouraged. Jeremiah got discouraged. But remember, he couldn't stop telling the message. When he said, I'm done with it. I won't say any more in the name of God. God's word remained in him. And it was like a burning fire, and he knew he couldn't stop. And he had to keep telling people, keep warning people. The reality is we need to keep loving these souls around us. Have compassion on people that they're not yet seeing it. Maybe one day they will. But we need to keep telling the word of life to those who are lost in sin. We need to speak the truth on salvation, on the one church, on what worship is acceptable to God, on the role of men and women that God has given in this life. And so it leads us to the final point we want to just mention this morning, and that is that the old paths desperately need restoration. Certainly in Jeremiah's day, and it's definitely the case today, we need to restore the old paths for a number of reasons, because first of all, salvation is there. The old path is God's path, and no other path leads to heaven. That's the bottom line. God has revealed the one way through His Son Jesus Christ that will enable people today to go to heaven. You can't be saved in a church of men. You can only be saved in the church that Jesus Himself established. How do we do that? Well, it means we abandon everything that's of men and we say we're going to follow God's word. We're going to be true to Him. We're going to let go of everything that is not in keeping with God's word. If I have things in my life that are not correct according to God's moral standards, I'm going to turn my back on that. I'm going to follow Him. That's a simple way of saying it, but it's a hard thing to put into practice. Nevertheless, remember, God will help us to do it. He gives us strength through His word. We have examples in the Bible. We have example here this morning too. Individuals who have made hard choices but are doing today what is right. And each and every one of us can make those same choices and be shown to be faithful to God. God demands that we choose the right path. We know the consequences of not choosing the right path is something that ought to sober us in our thinking as well. We can't afford not to choose the old path, because the old path leads to heaven. All other paths lead to hell. Eternal separation from God. There's no other choice because of the consequences. And then we need to choose it because it is, in fact, the good way. It is beautiful. People often love old cars, old furniture, old houses. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are not interested in old-time religion, as we sometimes sing. But God's way is the beautiful way that leads to life eternal. The old paths were revealed, and they are revealed. We need to realize, yes, they will be rejected, but we need to restore them nonetheless. We need to be tireless in our work and loyal to God in our efforts and rekindle the zeal in our own hearts for this good work and make sure that we always love and cling to the old paths and that we instill within the generation that's coming up after us those same desires and loves for the truth of God's will, because as long as souls cling to God's word, there is hope. But it's when His word is forgotten, as we can see in our world, that bad times begin to surface. Today, you need to ask yourself the question, am I walking in the ways of God at all? Am I a Christian? Has my soul been cleansed from my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ? Because the only way that happens is in baptism. And God, through His Word, shows us how it is that the question, what must I do to be saved, is answered. It begins with faith in Jesus Christ. That's what He taught. Unless you believe that I am He, He said, you will die in your sins. We have to believe Christ is the Son of God and be willing to turn away from the life of sin, unlike the Jewish people. They wouldn't turn. If we will turn, there is hope. We must confess our faith in Jesus Christ and then be baptized. It's in the act of baptism where symbolically we are buried with Christ to die to sin and come forth a new person living a brand new life now with a mindset that I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to do my best to stay away from it. Sometimes in weakness we do fall away, we sin, but we can always come home to the Father. If you need to do that this morning, if we can help you come back to the Lord, we'd urge you to do that as we stand and sing.